Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome in to the Monday Drive. And yes, we want to go ahead and jump right in there. We'd love to hear from you. It's the regular crew here on a Monday. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews, MauburnSports.com, Drew at the controls. After a what's the best description for
shocking,
Saturday?
Deflating,
sad, disappointing, just awful.
Oh no, not again.
Seen this before, deja vu. I mean,
dispiriting.
My goodness. Just disgusting.
I mean, deflating is the word that I've come back to.
A lot of D's. Yeah. Disappointing, yeah. Deflating, disgusting.
I called it exhausting in my column. The whole thing.
It felt like. Well, we've seen this before.
Yeah,
and we have, and it was just a bad day all around for Auburn football on Saturday, losing
a terrible first half.
Oh, like Auburn absolutely.
If that field goal goes
after the first possession,
Auburn takes
the opening possession, goes down and scores after near disaster. On the second play,
if Towns hits that field goal at the end of the first half, you know, granted it was a 60-yard or whatever, but right. If Towns hits that at the end of the first half and it's 14-10, you feel like Auburn has dodged
dodged an enormous bullet, down only 14.
The first half, as bad as it was, absolutely. Cal had left points on the field, and Auburn had done nothing offensively since the first drive. Auburn goes over two full quarters without taking a snap in Cal territory.
Fernando was almost perfect.
The former
he was 18 for his first 19.
The former Yale commit who decides to give Auburn a little bit more of that Yale Bulldog magic on Saturday as he looked like Joe Montana in the first half, and some, you know, it felt like the adjustments Auburn made at halftime based on what changed.
Defensive adjustments.
Well, there was a decision to have the secondary play a little bit closer to the guys, and
Auburn put a lot more pressure. I mean, there's no question Auburn pressed things from the secondary up. They played everything tighter. They were more aggressive. They came more after Cal. Auburn was in the backfield an awful lot in the second half.
A lot of
half.
Read and react in the first half, and you had mm-hmm. completions to guys where, yeah, I mean, granted, he was only 2 or 3 yards off the line, but there's not an Auburn player within 5 yards.
Right.
And how many times did Cal turn first and 10 into second and five?
Second and two.
Second and five or better.
Yeah, second and five or better. It seemed like they were getting 6 to 8 yards on every first down.
Yeah, and you can win a game doing
Because as much as they had the ball, they had only had like five. They were 5 for 5 on third down conversions late in the first half. I mean, so they weren't even getting to third down an awful lot of the time.
The defense tightened up in the second half and gave Auburn a better chance to win than they had in the first half because it felt like Cal was the better team. I mean, after that first drive, it felt like Cal was the better team on both sides of the ball all first half long.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second half, Auburn tightens up on defense. Auburn seems to decide, at least on the first two drives, that they're going to give the ball to the running backs more.
They'll try to run. Auburn handed off. They ran a jet sweep with Jeremiah Cobb, which, by the way, was, I believe, his only snap of the game. We were talking about Malcolm Simmons and Perry Thompson and Sam Jackson. I mean, some guys hardly were on the field.
These are some of your best playmakers.
Were hardly on the field. But Auburn, you know how many times Auburn handed the ball off in the first half?
It was
three.
Yeah, to running back, right.
Three.
And they had only 3 yards well into the first half. I don't know how much they finished with.
Yeah, it was actually three rushes for 2 yards by the running backs. Yeah. I mean, now that could be part of why, but Auburn, I mean, now we don't know. I mean, we sit and watch, and today we heard from Hugh Freeze, and we're definitely going to talk about his press conference today.
Yeah.
But so we don't know exactly what the reads should have been for Peyton Thorne. I mean, is it as simple as, okay, six guys in the box you're going to run, seven guys in the box you're going to throw? If it's that, then, boy, there were seven guys in the box an awful lot because Auburn was throwing and not trying to run the ball against Cal in the first half. But you're right, Dan. Auburn looked as though they decided they're at least going to, you know, test the defensive front early in the second half.
Right, and to hear Hugh Freeze tell it, a lot of misreads from Peyton Thorne. Considering how many plays Auburn ran on Saturday, if Peyton Thorne made mistakes on 15 or so.
Yeah, he said 15.
The number Hugh Freeze mentioned at the press conference today is he thought there were 15 off the top of his head.
Auburn ran 57 offensive plays.
Yeah, so that's.
So if you're talking missed reads on more than a quarter of the plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. And that in a game with five turnovers by the offense, four of them interceptions by the quarterback, you can argue not all four of the interceptions were all the quarterback's fault, although I think the number that were largely on the quarterback was more than zero.
Oh, yeah, and there was another one that very well could have been, probably should have been.
Right, I mean, and so...
Auburn's second touchdown.
I mean if you, the elephant in the room is the quarterback position, because, I mean, you look and... I mean, Brian, this is where we should involve Brian Matthews from Auburnsports.com. I would think that it's election season. I would think the approval rating of Peyton Thorne among the Auburn fan base right now is critically low.
I think it's critically lower than it's ever been with the Auburn coaching staff.
And I think I don't know if there was a moment in the game where I would have said pull Peyton Thorne and go with a different quarterback, and that quarterback would give you a better shot to win. Asking someone down 14, who's largely never played a high leverage snap in college football before, to go in and save the day feels less than ideal. I thought sticking with Peyton and seeing what happens was probably the right call. But now that we know what happened in sticking with Peyton Thorne, I do wonder if it's more of an open question than it's been at any point.
I think since
the bowl game.
Well, absolutely this year, Brian. I mean, here are the things. And again, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a caller on hold. The Drive hotline is 334-321-1390, and that's sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast.
But we heard for the first time today, I mean, Hugh Freeze, he questioned his quarterback publicly for the first time today. And what we heard is something, I mean, I can understand what he's saying, but this puts us a very precarious situation right now for Auburn with the quarterback situation, because he said you can't expect to play someone who isn't the best performer in practice. He talked about, I mean, basically what he said was Peyton has been, and he said it flatly, Peyton has been the best in practice. But it has to carry on to the field.
And it doesn't do that consistently.
No,
consistently, as we've seen. And the other thing I would say is this, you were talking about it, but it seems to me when things don't go well for Peyton, he has a hard time bouncing back. So when you think about that second half against California, maybe the move was to make a move, right? If he's not performing well, if he's kind of lost it for whatever reason, maybe you do need to make that move. And just from reading between the lines today, I think Hank Brown gets more reps than a number two normally gets this week. And
right.
I think
I wouldn't be shocked if he starts. But, I mean, here's the tough thing. If Peyton goes out there and plays well against New Mexico, what does that prove?
Nothing.
Outside the program, it proves probably very little to the folks that are.
I just wonder how the coaches can be – can ever be sure now. I can understand, I really can understand how Hugh Freeze, people would say, well, Hugh Freeze just doesn't know anything about quarterbacks or football by putting all his stock in Peyton Thorne. You look back at the whole picture. Peyton Thorne was not here last spring. He came in. The players around him were not extremely talented. And you see how bright he is, how he seems to understand everything. And it makes a lot of sense to think, all right, that's last year. We're going to put last year behind us. And with a new cast of talent, things are going to be better. And he hitched his horse. He hitched his wagon to that horse.
He did.
I mean, there's no question about it, but I can understand why he did that. And you want to let your team and your quarterback know this is the guy and we're right. going with him. You don't want to be wishy-washy with it. But here you get out here in the second game of the year, yes. you see what you saw last year,
yeah,
and now
good.
You got to be thinking, well, I gave him the shot.
Well, they made the decision to stick with Peyton and not invest in a transfer quarterback. And the plan was to make everybody around Peyton better.
Right.
And certainly the wide receiver position is better. There's no question about that. One of the problems, and we saw it definitely with our own eyes Saturday, was the offensive line is not better.
No. Well, I mean, when Too Tall Miller went down, and he went down pretty early.
Yeah.
Tried to come 20 back.
20 snaps, played a little bit.
And yeah. Tyler Johnson had a good first game. It was a 180,
yeah.
180 in the second
really
game.
Struggled.
I mean, and it wasn't all pressure on Peyton, but there was a lot. There was a lot. The Cal defensive line really dominated Auburn in the first half.
They really did. And Auburn put themselves behind the chains. They got in a lot of third and long situations, which this team right now is not capable of executing in those situations at all. They'd be better off punting on third and long, to be honest with you. Team out there on Saturday would have been better off putting on third.
You mentioned that the receiver position has gotten better, and it has, but now it opens up questions about last season when Peyton Thorne would hold on to the ball or a negative play would happen on offense.
You might think, because we heard, well, the guys are running the wrong routes. They don't know where to be.
Or nobody's open.
Right.
You would,
Saturday, they were open, and Hugh Freeze said it. Today, and there's no question, I made myself watch the TV last night.
I'm so sorry.
No, I mean, I wanted to make sure that I saw, because we saw from the end zone. I wanted to see from the side what it looked like as well. And, no, there were guys running open. Peyton did not see them.
And what happens?
Sometimes when he does, it seems like he holds it just a split second too long. Then they're not open when the ball is delivered.
Yeah, I just don't know how this is going to change.
I can see there being change.
Yeah.
At some point with a player, the die is cast, right? Like at some
I think you almost had to give him.
I think because
he's been the best guy they had in practice, and you didn't know because he hadn't gone through spring and all this other stuff. And now, I mean, everybody else is saying, I told you so. And it looks like they're right. But Hugh Freeze, now I'm hearing Hugh Freeze doesn't know anything about quarterbacks. And I don't think that's the case, but sometimes there's a guy that – you don't know until you've really seen them under fire and you know all the situations.
And if Hugh Freeze
exactly
had gone, and to point out, Bill, if Hugh Freeze had gone in a different direction at quarterback and brought in someone from outside the program, you would have been dealing with a lot of the same questions of what's a new quarterback, learning a new system, learning all. Like, I think Hugh Freeze really thought, I think the football coach in him wanted to develop Peyton Thorne out of last year's problems.
Right.
With better players around him and a simplified system and a full offseason as QB1 and the results, especially considering that week one Auburn played a totally overmatched FCS opponent. Mm-hmm. You could make the case Auburn had all offseason to get ready for Cal on Saturday. And that's what you saw, which is, you know, like you're hearing from some NFL fans that are very, very discouraged by what they saw week one from their favorite teams, because it's like you had all offseason to get ready, and you looked like the New York Giants yesterday or the Cleveland Browns yesterday with Deshaun Watson looking like he's you know, he shouldn't be in organized football. Like that's and I think there is some of that going on in the Auburn program where it's like you had a lot of time to get ready for a game where it was. I mean, in the first half, it was thorough. Like it. I mean, the score didn't reflect it. But but watching the game, like it was. I mean, there was one team that had a clear advantage virtually everywhere, and it wasn't Auburn. Auburn came back and won. You know, came back and played better in the second half. But no, it's I mean, we're getting back to the D words again, Bill, because that's how you sum up what you saw on Saturday.
Let's get to the phones before we get to our first break, because Travis has been hanging on for quite a while. Hey, Travis, how you doing? Welcome into the drive.
Guys. So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I called in, and I think Brian was there too. And you know, I was asking about why we didn't bring in, you know, another quarterback. And I just don't, you know, y'all keep saying he was the best guy in practice. Hugh Freeze keeps saying he's the best guy in practice. And if that's the case, I mean, it just doesn't matter. I mean, we got all the tools around him we want. We got brand new tires. We got brand new wheels. We got a spoiler on the back of the car. We got a brand new hood, a paint job.
Yep.
The driver doesn't even know we don't have an engine in the car. And that's what we got. We don't have a quarterback. I know nothing. I never played football. I've never coached football. But I knew that we didn't have a quarterback going in. And a lot of other people knew we didn't have it going in. And the head coach didn't. And he's going to have to answer for that at some point, because he should have brought somebody in to at least compete. You know, Nick Marshall didn't have a spring either. He did okay. He did okay in the fall.
Yeah, not bad, yeah.
I think a lot of Auburn fans, we just deserve better. We're paying a lot of money. We're going out in the heat. We're showing up. The team is not. The head coach is not showing up. And everybody's just kind of tired of it. And I'm just tired of hearing that we just a quarterback away. We're a quarterback away every year. And it's just getting old. And I know it's not you guys' fault. I'm just frustrated. I know everybody else is
frustrated. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like right, and rightfully so. I
think you deserve to feel that way.
Everybody who follows Auburn football is frustrated at the least is probably the mildest reaction.
And we said, you know, in the offseason, it was so tempting to look at the schedule and talk about
Oklahoma.
Yeah, when Auburn's 4-0 when Oklahoma comes to town. I thought Auburn had the advantage in all four of the games leading up to the Oklahoma game, but I also thought it was critical not to blow a tire in the Cal game or the Arkansas game, or you'd be answering questions like this before you built any momentum into the season. Well,
we've had the big one at Talladega. I'm gonna hang up and listen. Thank y'all.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that it is going to be the way Hugh Freeze deals with this adversity.
Oh yes.
Over the next 3-4 weeks at least. You know.
There had better be somebody who performs better at quarterback, regardless of who it is. After not getting a quarterback again, I understand how we got this way, and Hugh Freeze has had very good success with quarterbacks before. That doesn't mean that every coach is always going to be on spot. They're never going to make a mistake at quarterback, but it very much appears that Hugh Freeze has. Now, what does he do? Now, the other thing is, I don't want everyone to think, well, I'm just a Hugh Freeze apologist, and I think everything else is fine. I've got some serious questions about the game plan Saturday and some of the play calls as well. I know that there must have been some poor decisions in the reads, but I still wonder about some of the substitutions and calls that were made in the game.
And when I say how he responds to the adversity, I mean, you've got what looked to be three winnable home games over the next 3 weeks. Arkansas looks better, but lost that game in a collapse. I mean, Oklahoma's lucky to have not lost at home to Houston over the weekend. Auburn's a 28.5-point favorite. Like there is time. It's not a conference loss. You got time to right the ship and save this season. Saturday is on. Like this coming Saturday is an unlosable game.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Auburn loses this game Saturday, and Auburn's in the Florida and Billy Napier situation from a year ago. And Hugh Freeze today was talking about, we brought in talent. We're going to have a great class next year. Not if you don't win some games now. Right. Now you can't afford to lose. You better not lose another game that you're supposed to win.
Even though Auburn's not competing for a championship this year is so important because Auburn is on the cusp of signing that top five class and potentially
a number one class. Remember that a year ago?
Same position. They had a top five class.
Yeah.
They tanked in the season. The top five class fell apart. Their head coach is on the hot seat entering the season, the hottest seat in the country. And their recruiting class right now is somewhere in the 40s or 50s. Right.
Arkansas and Oklahoma are different stories. A lost Saturday, and it's over. I'll use stronger language than we usually use, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah,
lost Saturday, and this is fireable because the Hugh Freeze experiment will not work if you lose to New Mexico on Saturday. Like if you're losing at home as a 28.5-point favorite a week before conference play gets started, and it's the third time you've lost at home as a double digit favorite in the first.
Third time in your last six games.
Third time in your last. If it's that bad,
because Auburn's lost four of their last five.
If it's that bad, it's not going to work. Yeah. Now I don't think Auburn's losing Saturday, but if it's so like I said, you've got time to fix this before the skies get really turbulent. But you better.
The water's more than a little choppy.
You just took a real body blow.
New Mexico, they've had a week off. Week zero, they lost at Montana State.
Where they were big underdogs and looked like they and had a chance to win.
Yep. And then they played at Arizona. They scored 39 points.
They gave up
61.
But they scored 39.
Game was close for about a half, and then Arizona pulled away.
Yeah. I don't know how many points Auburn can score. Maybe they can score like they did against Alabama A&M. I kind of doubt it. But there are no give-me's on Auburn's schedule anymore, the way they play. If they play like they did against California, they just aren't.
No, you're right. All right, I know we're behind. We need to get to our first break. Rob, Brian, hang on, guys. You're up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
For air that is
back on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, Drew at the controls. And let's get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Rob is up next. Hey, Rob.
Hey, I hadn't called in a while. Is Shadow still among us?
I have not heard from Shadow in quite a while. I probably should check with Doug. He would know better than I.
I'm just gonna say, check the obituaries or the morgue. But anyway, I will say this: here's some history that every Auburn coach has to know. I love to look at history and numbers. No Auburn coach has ever survived losing in Oxford against Ole Miss and come back the next year as the head coach. It got Pat Dye, Tommy Tuberville, Gene Chizik, and Gustavus Malzahn the 17th. Another thing, every Auburn coach since Pat Dye came on board, with the exception of Brian Larceny, so bad I put him in parentheses, he didn't even complete his second year. Every Auburn coach, Pat Dye, Terry Bowden, Tommy Tuberville, Gene Chizik, okay, Gus Malzahn, every one of them, and Hugh Freeze is on the clock, have won at least eight games in their second year. Pat Dye, when he took over at Auburn January 2nd, 1981, Alabama, as he put it, was on top of the world. And Coach Bryant was leaving practice early in the afternoons and heading over to the yacht club in Northport having hotties. And just that thing was on autopilot. The talent gap was at a biblical girth. It was so wide. In the second year, he started three true freshmen. Randy Stokes out of Tallahassee, Alabama. You had Jeff Lott out of Gainesville, Georgia, Hall County High School. And you had Steve Wallace out of Chamblee in Atlanta. Got a tight end, freshman, Jeff Parks out of Gardendale. And a freshman running back, Vincent Jackson. Those five true freshmen right there and beat Alabama to break a nine-year streak. I sat with one of Hugh Freeze's best friends for 30 years Saturday. I had to be at a funeral, and afterwards I was visiting with him, and I wasn't saying anything bad. I support Auburn. I love Auburn. Therefore, I love whoever the coach is. But Auburn first with me before any individual or anything like that. I want Auburn to succeed, but 7-8 in the second year and not a single win against a Power 4 team with a winning record. Dan made a great point. I sound like I'm in trial with three great attorneys, all three of y'all. This is not just a must win. It's a program-defining win. And then Arkansas, you knew they'd be better with Petrino, but Auburn's not the only school frustrated right now. But what I didn't like, you know, Jason Caldwell was asking questions to Hugh Freeze after the game. Well, we're just going to have to look at the film. Coach, we look at videotape. You know that. But you didn't need to say we're going to look at the tape later. We all saw what we saw Saturday. Just address it. And
well, I do think he really was thinking that he was going to see a different Peyton Thorne out there this year. I mean, don't you, Brian? I mean, I feel like
I don't think there's any question. He thought his offense fit.
He felt like this is going to show everybody. And look, all right, he's put it out there. All right, he's missed. Now the question is, what does he do? Like I said a little while ago, you start Peyton Thorne, and unless it's a loss, it doesn't prove anything. Well, if it's a loss, it proves that he's not going to make any changes. Yeah. But I mean, if Peyton goes out and plays great, I don't think that what doesn't do? Make anybody feel like, oh, okay, he's turned the corner and everything's going to be fine.
It maybe settles some stomachs in the program. You know, if Peyton's making as many wrong reads as he apparently made on Saturday against Cal, if he goes out against New Mexico and has a game where he largely makes correct reads, I would think that is at least a step, you know, however incremental, you could say it's a step in the right direction and some progress for Peyton Thorne. And it at least avoids the, what if Peyton Thorne goes out and makes a bunch of wrong reads against New Mexico question
but
that
you would
does, have to deal with.
But if he does it prove that he's going doesn't to prove, the next
no,
time
no,
that the pressure's
no, no,
on?
Does not. I mean, Peyton, I mean, no, it will not prove the way that a strong performance against Arkansas or Oklahoma would prove that. No, but it would give him a chance to at least show the progress of a better game than the one he just had.
Well, Auburn needs a pep talk from Shadow before the next game. I mean, look, you know what, y'all got rid of the damn app, and now I found a way to watch. I love this show, and I was just talking to a guy that watches our show every morning in Gallup, Lebanon, Tennessee, and Kerry goes, oh, I listen to Bill and them every day. I had Jacob on in the background just now. But, man, it's just, you know what, guys? Y'all know this program inside out. And you just got to say, there's a lot of talent on this roster. And Peyton Thorne, you know what Mark Green used to say about players? If a dog will bite, he'll do it when he's a pup.
Oh yeah, and that's one of the things. You know, we appreciate it, Rob. We've got to get to break, but that's one of the things we were talking about here a little while ago off the air. I mean, a couple of the things that Hugh said today. He was talking about the youngsters and how much they want to play and how hard they're working and things like that. But then they didn't play a lot of them on Saturday, mm-hmm. which was very perplexing. I mean, I keep participation, and I'm sitting there commenting to Dan as we're going on. It's like, oh, there's Malcolm Simmons' first play, and he only played a couple more after that. And it's like, there's Perry Thompson's first play, and it was his only play. And like I mentioned, Jeremiah Cobb got
one play.
Sam Jackson, four plays. Yeah, I mean, it was
Malcolm
crazy.
Simmons, five plays. Perry Thompson, one play.
One play.
Those are some of your best playmakers
on
that offense.
They could have helped you, it seems like. Yep. And I know you didn't have the ball an awful lot. But you've got to have them in the game so you can get them a chance to get some touches.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call, Rob. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Back with more of your phone calls here on the Monday Drive. 24 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Back to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Casey is up next. Hey, Casey.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you, Casey.
Yeah, long time no talk because everything is kind of – I've been waiting to see how the season unfolded. I give last year a mulligan because it's his first year and due to lack of talent. But optimism from all the recruiting was basically the reason why I'm called. I am very concerned about our head coach's actual coaching ability. because I literally was about to pull all the cushions off my couch after the second interception. Because I'll be honest with you, ESPN followed him with cameras the whole game, talking about Peyton Thorne. He looked like he didn't care. You know, like when he threw an interception, didn't like care, didn't look like he was really there. And also, I think it's a complete and utter team and coaching collapse, because the strength of Auburn has always been its running game, no matter what coach you have. We've always been able to establish a great stable of running backs. I don't know many years where we haven't, even on our worst years, not had a really good running back.
No, and Hugh Freeze has talked about, it's going to be based on a power running game. And not Saturday, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It was literally almost 70% passes to begin with. And my thing is, too, is each pass has to be this deep developing bomb or some, you know, long post pattern. And we're not really utilizing the middle of the field. We didn't do that last year either. And that is a very concerning just something he does. It's very consistent. He doesn't utilize the middle of the field.
I'll say this, Casey. There were receivers open in the middle of the field, so it's not as though they weren't sending guys on routes. In the past, I mean, we've seen Auburn offenses in the past that didn't even have receivers apparently running routes in the middle of the field. They at least have guys, and they weren't just running. They were running open. That's on the quarterback to get them the ball.
But what if it's a pre-read? Like, because I'm sorry.
Well, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be RPO, where he's deciding, you know, where the open guy is and to get him the ball.
If it's a pre-read, I'll answer that question. If it's a pre-read, then it's totally unfair it's totally unfair for Hugh Freeze to be blaming Peyton Thorne the way he's blaming for the.
Yeah, if it's a pre-read, it's on the coach. If it's an RPO, it's on the player.
I just don't understand, because I'm going to sound very arrogant. I feel like I could have come up with a game plan that was way more simple. As you run the ball, yes, you're going to get stopped a few times, but it's the body blows throughout the game that draw him in the box. And if you want to go for a bomb, then only pass when you have to. And I don't understand why we don't have every player that we have basically rated as the best ones in the position starting every single play. Go and hurry up. It makes no sense. The time management in the second half of the game is like you never coached a football game before.
And that's something else. Hugh Freeze today talked about Auburn was going fast. It didn't feel like that at all to me. It felt like Auburn got down 21-7, they were very
Yeah, he was
methodical.
Asked about that right after the game. Yeah.
I feel like right now, currently, you know, we're supposed to be getting a Corvette. I mean, we got a Corvette in recruiting, but I feel like we got a Pinto, and it's got a Corvette emblem on it right now, and we don't have somebody who can coach an offense. I mean, that's what it feels like when you watch that game. I told my friend, I said, after the third interception, his you-know-what would be riding the pine hard. But he didn't. That's because he didn't. I mean, you've got to do that as a coach. If you've got someone in a slump, you got to pull them because you're telling the rest of your players, I got a favorite.
Yeah, he is in a, like I said, it was a precarious situation a while ago, because he talked today about, well, if you don't play the guy who practices well, that sends a message to the guys, you don't need to practice. But if you don't pull a guy who isn't playing well, that sends a message to the guys that, hey, it doesn't matter how well I practice if I'm not out there at the start.
See, I wonder, because I think reopening the battle after you saw Peyton Thorne play on Saturday is totally fair. I wonder if it's tough to go, even with Peyton struggling, when you're talking, like if you pull him after the third interception, then you're throwing Hank Brown out there with 26 seconds left in the game at his own 20. Like that's the next time Auburn touches the ball after the third Peyton Thorne interception.
Put him in the middle of the third. Like, I mean, that's the thing is you wasting what he can do when the lights are on, so to speak. I don't care what you do in practice. You know, they say that Bo Jackson wasn't great at practice.
Yeah, it is a little different with quarterbacks than it is at a lot of other positions as far as practice, because you're scared.
It feels a little thin and flimsy here.
Well, I can't imagine coaches feeling really good about putting a quarterback out there who wasn't performing well in practice as their starter.
Yeah, I get that, but after you throw so many interceptions.
Oh yeah, after Saturday? Saturday was that was it. That was the last okay, well what if I give you this kind of talent, if we have you know, if we have my coaches and we're all on the same page, you've got all that now.
All you have to do is load up with an H-back, have Jeremy Cobb in the wing, have your quarterback doing running back, and what's up with the play actions on 2nd and 18? Do you think they believe you're going to run?
The one thing, I don't know if there was a moment in the game, and I think in part because of the lack of experience from Hank Brown, like the fact that you've never seen him aside from the Maryland game for a handful of plays, I think it makes it really tough to pull Peyton for Hank mid-game in a high-leverage, still winnable situation. Now, if the game's over...
I don't anymore.
I think before Saturday.
Before you knew that Saturday. Yeah. And the thing is, Auburn got that, again, probably shouldn't have, touchdown after that very questionable interference call. Golly, were the officials just bad? I mean, there were missed calls all over the place. But once you got it at 21-14 with Peyton, I understand why you rode with him. But it's a completely different story now.
Yeah, what would a Spurrier have done, huh? I mean, that's a good coach.
Spurrier would have made a change in the first half.
Yeah.
Yes, just looking at his composure and the way he wasn't making reads, I would have talked to him and literally been on him every time he came to the sidelines. And if he didn't act like he cared, I'm like, all right, well, I got somebody else who does care. Go sit on the pine.
It didn't seem like there was near as much interaction between Hugh and Peyton Saturday with problems as there were in the opening game when Auburn was scoring at will.
Yeah, you could do the old school lineup in the shotgun, literally have an H-back, and we would have won that game just running simple routes, a simple little squaring. I mean, look what they did. All they did is a little play action, boom, hit the little tight end.
You know what else they did? They put the quarterback in motion, had him move a little bit to avoid the pressure. You know, Peyton's much more athletic than that guy. Yeah. I mean, if you just roll him more instead of just dropping him straight back.
While we're not running QB option run game until they stop it and then throw when we have to is absurd. It's like somebody playing NCAA just trying to force it. I mean, it just seemed like a lack of coaching knowledge,
And I get the desire to want to go for home runs when you have receivers like this, but you don't want to build the whole plane out of that.
No.
Like, I mean, it's you know, you need some other stuff too. And I think the lack of, you can certainly bemoan the lack of inside runs from the tailbacks, the lack of quick throws that get the ball out of Peyton's hands and give those receivers a chance to do stuff. Like, and again, I don't know how to divide the blame pie there.
You know how you help the tackles out? And get them to back off the tackles on the edge rush is you run the ball. You run the ball, you move coverage. If you know that they're blitzing free safeties and the quarterback didn't even look over there, you got to make these checks. I mean, it's just he's not got it all there, and I don't know if – I think it's just a complete, utter system breakdown, and it's unexcusable for a coach that's supposed to be of his caliber. And I'm sorry, I know I'm probably cutting you guys off.
You're making good points, Casey. And I would say too, it's especially discouraging considering like if Auburn had had a game week one against a top 10 opponent at a neutral site, and that had been the focus of the whole offseason, and then week two comes along and Cal comes in and bites you. That's one thing. You can make the case Auburn had ample opportunity to prepare for that game on Saturday, and that's what the offense delivered.
An opportunity to win it, but it just didn't seem like we wanted it at all. And it didn't seem like the coaches wanted it. It didn't seem like the play calling wanted it. It didn't look like anything was designed for success on Saturday other than the defense. The defense was great. I mean, the first half, I don't know why we played all soft coverage, letting him get in a rhythm. You're basically inviting him to get in a rhythm. You're saying, all right, we're going to give you all this under coverage here, and you can get all your completions in, and then it gave him – so much confidence.
I wonder if Auburn just thought that, they're just probably going to, with this young quarterback, they'll probably just run the ball and we'll just play soft so we can help out in run support. And no, they figured out after a couple of attempts, we're not going to be able to run it. We're just going to roll him and throw short see if Auburn ever tightens up.
I'll tell you what it is. And again, I mean, we're talking quarterback, understandably so. It should be a focus. Auburn called the defense in the first half like they were worried about their corners holding up in coverage. It was they played them back and they kept the safeties off the line of scrimmage. They also benched Keontae. At some point, they benched Keontae Scott from coverage.
Hugh said today he's got a hamstring, but it was pretty noticeable with him not out there.
Well, and I do question his hamstring's good enough to be your punt returner.
Yeah.
But he can't hold up in coverage. There are a lot of things
to question about.
We played Cal the way defensively. Auburn played Cal in the first half.
Scared of single coverage.
And the way I thought teams would play Auburn, right? Yep. Because you're worried about the home run ball. But that's not Cal said no.
Well,
you know,
decided, we're going to come after your quarterback.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Casey.
And they did. And no changes or amendments to help them out. I mean, all I heard was excuses. And all I keep hearing from Hugh is excuses. I hope he can prove to be the coach that we thought he could be, but I have grave concerns about him. I really do. Watching a game like that only makes you have grave concerns. If not, you're blinding yourself from the truth. This program deserves better. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Casey. I mean, he made some great points. Hey, I had a couple of people after the game, Brian, and tell me how crazy this is, because I went, nah, and then I went, well, I don't know. That said, the game plan to them looked like it was designed for the recruits.
Yeah, they wanted to throw the ball over the field and show off the.
We're gonna throw the ball for Deuce Knight. Look, here's what I want you to. You're gonna be throwing bombs for the guy. This is the offense, and if that's the case, I'm very disappointed, because you know what the game plan should have been designed to do?
Win the game.
Beat Cal. That's what the game plan.
Do you guys remember when Hugh was the coach at Ole Miss, and it felt like they were lethal on the first drive of the game over and over again? I have no science to back this up. I remember it happening against Auburn.
Gus used to be too.
I mean, I asked him about this. How many of Auburn's best passing plays on Saturday
on the first drive
came on that first drive? Like that three of Auburn's. I mean, I don't know how many times Auburn
Peyton
had.
Starts off 5 for 7, but he had a throwaway.
Yep.
Five or seven with a throwaway.
And maybe a drop.
He gets the deep ball to Cam on that first drive. Yeah. He fits it in on the touchdown to Lambert Smith. Like and then from that point on, again, I don't know if Cal adjusted somewhat from that first drive, if Auburn kept going to the same well, and it wasn't like when a guy who's a low percentage 3-point shooter hits a 3-point shot and suddenly he's going to take a bunch of those shots, even though it's not in the best interest. Like, I don't know, but it was troubling. Grave concerns, as Casey just said.
Yep. All right,
we will get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final couple of minutes here of hour number one. And, It's a really interesting situation that Auburn's in right now. They've got a New Mexico team that's had a week off, and Auburn is a solid favorite again in this game. So it shouldn't. This sounds very.
But Northern Illinois certainly shouldn't have beaten Notre Dame.
No, you're right. Yeah. But I mean, Auburn should be able to beat New Mexico with one of a few guys at quarterback. So you need to go with the one that is going to be your best bet from this point on.
I would agree that Peyton Thorne can do very little to settle the doubters and the skeptics this week against New Mexico State as a 28.5-point favorite. Mm-hmm. I do wonder, like, if you decide to make the change from Peyton to somebody else,
what's going to put you in the best shape to beat Arkansas and Oklahoma?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they've got to be doing, working on right now.
Part of me wonders if – well, I mean, I'm rarely the backup quarterback we've never seen before is going to give you a better option than
too.
The quarterback we've seen.
I'm usually very hesitant.
And there are some folks I talk to who are often –
yeah.
The backup quarterback that we've never seen before is going to give us the best chance to win kind of people. It happens. But in this case, I do wonder if some of those times when Peyton Thorne is holding on to the ball or throwing it away or being otherwise overly cautious, if those are plays that with a less experienced, more courageous, or you know what I mean, like with a quarterback who's
more of a gunslinger mentality, take more chances.
Those aren't always going to be positive.
No,
plays.
They are.
Like that's where
I can't imagine Auburn having Auburn going out and turning it over much more than they did Saturday. I mean, that's the thing. Auburn has turned the ball over 7 times in 2 games now against Alabama, A&M, and Cal.
Yeah. Yeah,
turn it over 7 times in 2 games.
No, and it's a
and they have not forced one.
I didn't realize. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's not good.
7-0
minus 7.
And just
yeah.
a football score. That's a bad Woo. Turnover score when it's nothing to 7. Let's get to Jerry before we run out of time here in hour number 1. Hey, Jerry.
Hey guys, how are y'all?
Been better. No, yeah, we're doing fine.
Me too. I just wanted to mention that.
Go ahead. We got 45 seconds.
All right. Our quarterback would not see another play on the field unless everybody had a broke arm.
All right, that is Coach Jerry.
All right,
I mean, we really going to be interesting. I think that's one of the things a lot of folks are going to be, really interested in seeing who trots out there.
Yes, very interesting.
And gets and not only just trots out there first, but gets the most snaps
yep.
at quarterback. All right, we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Plenty of time for you to join in hour number 2.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number 2 of the Monday Drive. Second hour of the show brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you, and you can call us on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
And we're joined, as always, on Mondays here in the studio by Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. B-Matt, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. And well,
a little lively. I mean,
yeah, I mean, as to be expected.
Yeah.
Not my first rodeo. This has happened before.
It's tough.
It's
happened yeah. 27 of the last 51 games.
Yeah.
Is that Oof. Sad?
Yeah, it really
24
is.
24 and 27 Listen, since the
I was a student during the 80s. This is when Auburn had a dominant program. You know, there wasn't the playoffs, you know. There wasn't right. the opportunity that Auburn may have had now if they were that team back in the 80s. It's just tough seeing Auburn in this position.
I've seen some people asking, was it really this bad in the 70s? And you know what? In the 70s, Auburn beat Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't recall as many losses to who type teams. Yeah, I remember right. the Wake Forest loss and some of those, but I don't know. It's getting close, and that's a sad thing. All right, we will go ahead and get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar as we have calls lining up, and Jeremy gets us started. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah, hey, guys. It is not an accident when your quarterback ends up handling the ball for 3/4 of your offensive snaps. That doesn't just happen. There is a plan behind that. And it's not a good plan unless you've got Mike Vick, and I haven't seen that guy play in about 15 or 20 years.
Been a minute, yeah.
It's 4th and 2 on your second drive of the season. What's your go-to play? Like, what are you running? If it's 3rd and 2, 4th and 2, what's your go-to play that you've been practicing all? You go up to the line and you try to draw them offside, call a timeout, and then that's the play that you run coming out of that timeout.
Well, if the play didn't bother me so much as the decision of where to throw the ball, because you had Keandre Lambert-Smith wide open over the middle.
It's fourth and two. There shouldn't be more than half an option.
Jeremy, I was advocating in the press box, actually. My thinking on that fourth and two was you show pass and a little quarterback draw action maybe with Peyton Thorne.
What did Cal do every time they needed 2 yards? It's split zone bootleg.
Yep.
Like the guys, look, listen, football's not a hard game. It is more difficult than counting how many guys are lined up across from you and trying to decide what you're going to do based off of that. If your offense is counting guys in the box, it's going to be a bad offense. You have to run the ball when there's 7 or 8 guys in the box. You have to throw the ball when there's 5 guys in the box.
Yep.
If you're so simple that all you're doing is counting guys, we're going to have a lot more Saturdays like this past one than we do the first one.
No, you're right, There's been talk of other aspects of the offense being too complicated, but no, I think the thought of predictability or doing more to keep. I mean, it's I don't know. There aren't easy answers here, even if it does feel like some of the problems are clear.
Who's our go-to guy? What guy needs to have the ball 15 to 20 times?
I would think Jarquez
probably are one of the running backs. You certainly can't get it to a receiver that many times, but yeah. But to me, the best playmakers on
apparently on Saturday, it's Peyton. Like our this coaching staff thought that guy was Peyton Thorne. And the only other thing I'll say is I texted y'all earlier. If he made 15 misreads during the course of a game, you shouldn't have to watch film afterward to realize that's happening.
No, I would think you would know during the ball game if he's missing.
And Hugh Freeze did.
You know what back to, Jeremy? That sort of reminds me of what I was saying. A couple of people said to me after the game, looked like the game plan was designed to try to recruit a quarterback.
If you knew during the course of the game that your quarterback was making 15 misreads, if he makes 5 misreads on the level of what we're talking about, he's got to come out. I don't care how he's practiced. I don't care how the other guys have practiced. You can't have someone on the field who's going that is messing up 1 out of every 3 plays that he runs.
No, that's a good way to go 3 and out if you even get 3.
Yeah, Coach Freeze lamented the missed reads at halftime. I know going into, I think on the radio call, it was either on the radio call or the TV call, when he mentions that Peyton had his share of missed reads going, you know, in the first half. I get wanting to straighten that out at halftime and see what the see what you can do with that offense in the second half. They probably have, I mean, and I guess then the downside is you begin the first 2 drives of the second half at your own 1 because of the work of the Cal punter and the Cal defense, which throws things off some. But no, I think that now that you've got a full picture of what it looks like, it's a tough pill to swallow.
All right, guys.
Appreciate the call, Jeremy.
Again, I don't know if there was a moment in the game where I would have said you're better off with a different quarterback in the game right now to win.
But to Jeremy's point, if you felt like you had 8 to 10 missed reads
in
the first half, maybe then.
You're right. I mean, the closest I would have come would have been after the interceptions at the end, right? The 2 interceptions at the end would have been where I was like, oh, this is not going. If you're looking for evidence that this is not going to work, to me the turnovers at the end were the starkest indictment of the Auburn quarterback. Like you said, because you can make the first interception is probably in the strike zone of the receiver. Oh, yeah. It goes up in the air.
Wasn't a perfect pass, but it was definitely catchable.
Peyton's destroyed by a blitzer on the second one, but the third and fourth ones are tougher to hang on anyone else.
Yeah. And that sort of leads into something we might as well pass along some of the news from the press conference today regarding the pass blocking. Coach Freeze updating the injury situation. Brian, I think you asked about this, right?
I did, and I wrote about it. Auburn is a little banged up now, and I think the position that's hit the most, well, two positions really, but offensive line, mm-hmm. Xavier Miller is going to be out, I think, for a little while. Coach called him questionable. I definitely don't think he's playing this week.
I think he's very questionable.
Yeah, he's got a hip injury. So what this means for Auburn, and plus the left tackle position did not play well.
No, not at all. He said Percy played his best game, but it's just his second game.
Yeah.
But Tyler really struggled in pass pro.
So what I think is going to happen is they're going to move Dylan Wade back to left tackle. They're going to play Tate Johnson and our Braden Joyner at left guard. They're going to move Percy or Tyler Johnson to right tackle. I guess it'll be Percy. And figure out who's going to start at right tackle, whether one of those guys or Ronan Chambers. Probably, you know, Percy, I think, played some right tackle in the spring. I don't know if they liked it or not. I haven't asked, but I think that's a possibility.
Actually, I asked him about that. He said he hadn't.
Oh.
He said he'd worked some at right guard. But
right guard. Okay, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And then Cam Coleman. Both Xavier and Cam Coleman went under MRIs. Cam banged up his shoulder. He is of the two more likely to play this week, so we'll see.
I would say if they don't have to have him, I'd like Cam to be healthy when you get into SEC play.
You need him, and then the other one is Kante Scott, who you said is still banged up, still nursing that hamstring injury. However, I just think there's more to it.
He still went out there as a punt returner,
and I just think. And I talked about this, but I think there's some long-term decisions that the staff has made that have just completely backfired on them. And we talked about the quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. I think they made a mistake now, looking back. We talked about the situation where, okay, you bring back Peyton, but you make the offense all better around him. That did not take place at the offensive line well enough. And then the third situation to me is cornerback, where you basically spent all spring and the entire fall camp with Keontae playing corner. You get into game two, and he's not effective there, whether or not that's his, you know, or maybe the injuries bothering him, but still, the kid is a great nickel to me. But you end up in the second half, you put Spooty Cat out there at corner.
We didn't see J.C. Hart for one defensive snap.
That's right. Another one.
A guy that had been the number three corner after. That tells you maybe what they thought of either game one or the practice last week.
Right.
I guess. Unless he's not healthy. We don't know.
But to me, Spooty should have been out there the entire camp. And you know, they need to do a better job of evaluating things, in my opinion. I think they've made long-term mistakes that have cost this team. You shouldn't have to wait until the second half of the second game to know that Keontae is or not, right, a true number one corner, or he's better at nickel. You've got enough veteran coaches over there and a complete staff of assistant coaches and personnel guys to figure that out beforehand.
Full bank of calls. Let's get right back to them. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today? Sounds like everybody's having a great day.
Beautiful.
It is a gorgeous day.
It's nice to hear. You know, it's nice to hear from everybody, Tex.
Yeah.
I made a promise to myself a long time ago. I wouldn't leave miserable because it's a 425-mile drive.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't leave miserable from Auburn, and I didn't. Sooner or later, you just got to let it go. So
you stuck around and waited a day to leave. That's why.
That's probably so. I made sure the beer was cold by the time I got back to the lake.
There you go.
So I will tell you that. So what I did is just to kind of get some context, talk to a few coaches that have been major college baseball and football coaches. I talked to my buddy in the big leagues and one that was a big leader who I think should be in the Hall of Fame. I called all of them today just asking a few questions. Number one, there's not a coach in the world that doesn't play the guy that thinks gives him the best opportunity. That was a resounding 100% answer. Number two, practice means way more to the coaches than it does to anybody else. Number three, I'm not surprised that Hugh didn't really – I think he's been very cautious about not wanting to destroy someone's confidence.
Right, I agree.
I'm not sure how the current quarterback may necessarily – where his confidence might be. I personally see leftovers from the same things we had last year. And, Bill, what did I tell you after the first practice where y'all took film and I told you that I watched? I said on your show that I believe the ball is being delivered late.
Yep, you sure did.
There's you go to X, you can go to Twitter or whatever it's called nowadays, and you can look at 10 to 12 plays where the ball was delivered late. Mm. And there's something fundamentally wrong with that. That is a fear of not making a mistake. And if you play with that fear, you tend to cause those mistakes.
Yeah.
It just compiles. It complicates the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You're overthinking the situation.
Text. It was can I say on that point, Tex? It was there last year, and it was tempting to blame other aspects of the offense. Right, and say, oh, the receivers weren't open, or
they weren't the right plays,
or they weren't running the right plays, or things like that. And now that other things have changed, and that's still a problem, it's tougher to shift the blame anywhere else.
Well, let me tell you, the big eye in the sky doesn't lie, and you can clearly see we've got guys running across the middle wide open the entire game,
mm-hmm.
and yep. we deliver the ball late.
Yeah, that is one thing about our vantage point. From yeah. where we sit, you can see that very clearly. We yeah. can see that very clearly.
I didn't see it from where my vantage point is. I'm a little lower than you guys.
Yeah. Well, you also are on the side.
I can see. Yeah. Exactly. But watching these videos, look, there's nothing none of us can do about it other than vent. So I let it go on before I got in the car to come home on Sunday. I've heard several comparisons as to what it reminds them of, but there was a mention a while ago, I forget who Brian mentioned that he was in school. Brian, were you in school when Doug Barfield was the coach?
No, I was mid-80s, 85 to 90, or 89, yeah. Those were great, okay. Those incredible years.
I mean, it was a great year to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I just nailed it.
Well, the best thing that Doug Barfield brought to Auburn University was his daughter. So,
you want to expand on that any?
She's gorgeous.
Oh, okay.
She ended up, last I heard, she married a shortstop from Mississippi State. Just beautiful girl, nice as could be. But, I mean, that's.
I saw Coach Barfield just a couple of weeks ago, Tex.
Yes. Well, I loved what he did for Auburn as an assistant, but some people are coaches and some people are head coaches. I still think we are a true quarterback away. And I don't think that you can't tell me that Hugh Freeze forgot who's the best quarterback of that group. I don't think
you can also convince me that Hugh Freeze doesn't know anything about quarterbacks. I think sometimes there's a swing and a miss.
Yes. Sometimes there are. So I liken it, and this is what Will told me. He goes, sometimes you can have guys make the perfect pitch call. But if you throw it in the wrong location, it's either a home run or it's a double. So that's if you throw the pitch in the wrong location, it's not going to work. And we seem to be throwing a lot in the wrong location. And I don't think it's the play call. I can document multiple times where we have openings. Running the football would help, but I agree with Jeremy a while ago. Our best play is counter. That's where we get the most yards because it creates the most hole. I think we run counter off of that, especially after Peyton kept the ball a few times. If we run counter off of that same action, it creates opportunities. If he does give it, there's openings. And if he keeps it, there's openings. That's why we got some of the openings, is they were flying to counter. So that's just my opinion.
Tex, I just wonder – Well, I wonder in the case of a senior quarterback too, with like Peyton, if it's a problem like he's holding the ball too long, is that a problem that's gonna get fixed, or is the die cast at some point and you are that quarterback, and maybe it's maybe you fix the problem by trying a new player.
Yeah, it can't go much longer.
No, it better.
The natives are extremely restless.
Yep,
and I don't mean to sound this way, but I drive round trip 850 miles to go watch Auburn football. I can't make five in a row, so I do have two tickets. If you contact the show, Bill can get you in touch with me.
Okay.
And I would I'll eat them before I'll sell them on eBay, or not eBay. What do you call that ticket place they sell them?
Ticketmaster.
I'll eat them before we sell them.
Yeah.
Before I sell it there.
See,
because you know who's buying those tickets? Because they come in our area of the stadium all the time, the opposing team.
Yep.
I'm not selling it to somebody from the opposing team.
That's because your seats are good. That's right.
Yeah. Well, we had – they said there was 5,000 Cal fans. Seven or eight rows of them sat.
They had a good contingent.
Right,
I tipped my hat to them. I mean, they brought a decent crowd from cross country.
I'm going to go to jail if I ever find out who owns all those seats, because they sold them to Georgia and Alabama people last year. So,
all right. All right, Tex.
All right, guys. Thanks.
We need to get to our first break. Let's see. We've got Brett and Josh hanging on. You'll be up, guys, when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
The Edward Via College.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Full bank of calls for Bill, Dan, and Brian here on this Monday. And Brett gets us going. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. Dan, I didn't get to hear Texas' response when you asked, has the die been cast? But I guess my question would be, how many times have we seen Peyton Thorne be able to, I'm not talking about getting sacked, you know, over and over and over, but handle pressure and make the throws. I'm not talking about one time in a game. I'm just talking about consistently the other team's bringing pressure and he handles it.
It's a brief highlight reel. Yeah. If I had to go off the top of my head with that category,
no, I'm talking about consistently during a game. There is no highlight reel.
No,
Dan.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
There isn't, and you know, I'm all for him. I hope somehow he turns it around. But that was not just me. A whole lot of people's biggest question about, oh yeah, he's going to really turn it around. But until you see him handle pressure. But, I mean, come on now. There's a lot of guys in 707, and, yeah, you can't hit them in practice that are going to, you know, look real good. And he just hadn't done it. Once again, I hope he, you know, comes through and, boy, just shines. I hope he does great. But we just hadn't seen that.
Yeah. And the problem I see is, let's say he does do that next week. Then we're just pushing this decision down because we know it's going to happen either against Arkansas or Oklahoma, because it keeps happening over and over again. Why not make the decision right now, decisive decision, and roll with another opportunity?
I heard T-Bone talking about this a little earlier, and I don't advocate doing what Nick Saban in Alabama did last year against South Florida and just go, okay, here's the rest. We're going to put everybody else out there and see if anybody looks like they're worth playing. I mean, I'm not advocating that.
Right.
But I think you would be better seeing what the alternatives look or an alternative looks like this week, because you still should be able to win the ball game, and then you could have Peyton to go back to later than going back with Peyton right now and still not knowing.
It's a flaw that may in fact prove to be a fatal flaw for the Auburn offense under Peyton Thorne. In that, it was something we were talking about with Doug earlier. I don't think it's a lack of, like, Peyton Thorne is fine with contact, Peyton Thorne runs the ball hard.
I don't think he's. I don't think he's afraid of being
hit. I think if anything, I think Peyton Thorne is concerned about making a mistake, making an imperfect throw that sets the offense back, and in holding on to the ball until the situation improves, he misses his window. Like that would be my sort of like from the outside my diagnosis of it. And last year, when you could say, well, the receivers aren't open and the play call there's not harmony with the offensive philosophy and things like that, it was easier to explain away Peyton Thorne holding the ball too long in moments. It's tougher now. It's a lot tougher, and it's hard to believe that that's something that will change dramatically between now and the end of his college football career.
There's no doubt. And you know what? I mean, I'm not saying it's all his fault, but who would have ever thought in five games, we would have lost to New Mexico State at home, Cal at home, mm-hmm. and Maryland.
Right.
In a bowl game, yeah.
And had Alabama
fourth and 31. Yeah, that's right.
And just, you know, it's almost like you've got to be kidding me. It's just really gotten bad. But anyway, y'all have a great day.
That's a great point, Jeremy. I mentioned it a little while ago. Yeah, it's
Great to hear from our old pal Brett.
Yeah, it is. I mean, absolutely. 334-321-1390. We move from Brett to Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right.
Hey, just want to make a couple points and then just kind of hear y'all's. First thing is, you know, one of my biggest things, and I was there at the game, but one of my things that I just continuously noticed was, and even afterward, was just, I don't know, like, you know, Cam was on the field, but then Malcolm Simmons, like, he is so explosive. He is just extremely athletic in the slot. Nothing against Robert Lewis, but I just feel like Simmons is somebody that you get him the ball quick in space and just let him, you know, that could be an easy, like, 5-10-yard throw, but he could make it into a, you know, a 20-30-yard gain. You know, and Perry Thompson not being on the field. I know Hugh, I watched his press conference. He's talking about the you know, you just not having the possessions and the amount of snaps, but still,
yeah,
those are
it.
Guys that need to be on the field. Yeah. You know, you recruited them to make plays. You can't make plays if you're not on the field and you're not getting the opportunities. I just thought maybe some quick passes would have helped, you know, just something to get the ball out of Peyton's hand because clearly he struggles with, you know, just the pressure, and I don't know. There's that, but then I was also real concerning with his press conference when he said we're going to take out. Yeah, he was talking about like the offensive package, and he said we're gonna simplify it. And I'm like, this is a guy that is played. He started 4 years, two at Michigan State, and now going on his second year at Auburn. I mean, this is a guy that. You shouldn't be shrinking anything down for him.
That, you know what that told me, though? That told me he's more than just thinking about making a change. You simplify when you're going to someone who doesn't understand the whole system. Yeah.
And you also simplify when Malcolm Simmons gets five snaps and Perry Thompson gets one.
Yeah,
those guys got to be on the field.
Sam Jackson only got three or four, and Jeremiah Cobb was barely in the ball
game. One play from Jeremiah Cobb, yep.
And I know that's what Daryl Dapperidge said. You know, he was like, you know, I kind of take that as him simplifying is that he's really, really preparing for that decision, which I hope that's the case because if you're simplifying for Peyton Thorne, I mean, that only reiterates even more. Like, he just, when it's under the lights, on the field, live action, some people just ain't got it, you know, and Peyton, it just doesn't click on the field. I don't care how good he looks in practice, it's not good on the field. And so I just feel like they need to give Hank Brown a chance and let's just see what it looks like. And I'm with Brian. Like, if you're going to make that decision, it needs to be now going into the New Mexico game. Because after the New Mexico game, it gets – there's no
– Right.
It doesn't get easier from there.
It's
but anyway,
Arkansas,
guys, I'll let y'all go and I'll listen.
Appreciate the call.
It's Arkansas, thanks, Oklahoma. Josh. At Georgia, at Missouri, at Kentucky.
Yes, that's your next five.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get this settled now.
Yeah.
You can't afford to go through this same cycle another time and throw Hank out there at Georgia or against Oklahoma.
No. You want to see the what was it?
Or decide halfway through the Georgia game.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Now it's time to go with Hank. You know,
Clint. at LSU.
Yeah, Mosley?
Yeah.
Our old buddy at Clint Mosley? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, tough, I remember yeah. that. What a terrible time to throw somebody out there.
Oh, yeah.
334-321-1390.
Didn't they go to Sean late in the LSU game against the Jeremy and Sean game in 15, right? Like, I mean, it's just
– Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the situations where a quarterback's got no chance.
All right, look, we've seen enough of too many things over and over again. We don't need to see that. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Right back with Matt and Bill for the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Got to get a quick recap of your Monday musings presented by Uncle Keith's Red Sauce.
Well, I basically said that I think Auburn deserves better than this. And, you know, I talked about the atmosphere Saturday. Tiger Walk was incredible, I thought. Eagle flew good.
Oh, right? Man, that was a very impressive flight.
The stands were packed.
Yep.
The whiteout looked gorgeous. You know, the Auburn gets all the support. This fan base, this alumni base has been through, you know, heck for the last 3.5 years, 4 years, whatever it is, three consecutive losing seasons.
Well, I mean, in 2020 was 6-5.
Yeah, right. And they've been through now the third coach in 4 years. It's just, man, there needs to be a payoff at some point. I mean, it's just hard, I think, if you're an Auburn person, to be living through this right now, right? And you invest all your time, your money, your energy, you know, you build your life around it, and then you keep seeing this happen over and over again. It's just exhaustive. It's deflating. And but anyway, that's what I talked about a little bit. And I also, of course, did John Lennon.
Yeah, have you seen the special on the Imagine special?
I have not.
Oh, it's cool.
Which
I'm trying to remember. I watched it last week because I saw just a clip about it when my screen first came up and I just clicked. So I don't even remember where I saw it, but it was really good.
But released 53 years ago today in the U.S. And obviously a very popular song, a song that is now part of the Olympic, I guess, opening or closing ceremonies. I'm not sure which. And one that, you know, has been... it's controversial in some ways too, but obviously very popular. You know, inducted into the Grammy Hall.
He's got a lot of great songs, and it's not for everybody.
Only Sky, I believe, was the was the name of it.
The special.
Yes.
We've talked about Lennon solo stuff on the show before. He's got a lot of. It's not all super Beatlesy.
You get into
some of the Plastic Ono Band and some of the other solo stuff. Like, it's different. There's some cool stuff in that one. Tragic Loss.
But again, sponsored by Uncle Keith's.
Yes, delicious homegrown salsa right here in the state of Alabama, available at Publix, Renfro's, and Piggly Wiggly statewide and surrounding states. Here in Auburn, you can find it at the Kroger's in Auburn and Opelika. And also, if you want to order online, you can use the discount code BMAT15 to get 15% off your order. Give it a try. It's delicious salsa. You can use it on other things besides just chips, of course. And this is the perfect time of year, the fall weather, the tailgating. Yeah. You got to have some Uncle Keith's at your tailgate.
All right, let's get right back to the phones because we have a full phone bank, and Matt gets us started. Hey, Matt. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, I'm sure you're getting a lot of everybody wanting to give their 2 cents. I'll give you mine.
Sure.
I admit I sort of bought into the, he's got another year. Quarterback's going to be better because of everything around him, and
we all did too.
Things started going badly. The body language and the look of what he looked like on the sideline to me he doesn't look like that he's going to be the guy, and I hate it for him. And my feeling is, I mean, these guys are short professionals now. I mean, he's getting NIL money, and so you have to produce, and unfortunately, we probably didn't go after another quarterback because we invested in him. But if he can't do what we need to do for him to win, then I think somebody else is going to have to get a chance. But everybody else has been saying that. I don't mean on the rain, on the same parade. My question for you guys is, I'm a little disappointed in our defense. I've heard the defense was going to be better. Do we need to change it up? We had a perfect pick six. That would have changed the game completely.
Ooh, you're not kidding. It was a 14-7 game. That would have tied the game.
That's happened a few times lately, unfortunately.
And that is exactly what we needed at that point.
Oh, yeah.
We needed a
defensive
play. We need somebody to stand up on defense and say this is it. And so I don't know if we got some people in the wings that can play quarterback and move Scott back to what was he, nickel last year?
Right.
Yeah.
But we need some playmakers on defense because of all the things we said about the offense, because we got – this is the time to be working it out. And
yeah, I'm not discouraged about the defense. I was a little disappointed with their philosophy in the first half.
I agree 100%.
But I thought DJ Durkin really changed things. They were much more aggressive in the second half. Should have had a pick six. I mean, they were really counting – on
the Cal touchdown.
A couple of guys, Tyler Scott, who is out for the year, injured, Colton Hood, who went into the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I mean, those are a couple of guys that were counting on at corner.
Cal's touchdown is on a short field, too. I mean,
yes,
Cal's touchdown
is
in the second half.
Yeah.
Like, Cal gets the touchdown after the fumble.
The very next play.
Yeah, I thought the adjustments Auburn made in the second half, they wanted the running backs to touch the ball more offensively. That seemed to fall by the wayside when Auburn went down 14. And then they wanted to get more aggressive defensively, and they maintained that the whole second half.
My only question or surprise defensively is that Jalen McLeod and Kieron Crawford seem to be dropping into coverage more than they are pressuring the quarterback.
Yeah, especially in the first half.
Yeah. Can I ask you one quick question?
Sure.
I'll hang up to Brian. Any injury news or anybody got hurt that we need to worry about for the next few games?
Yes.
I haven't seen an injury report on all the players. Thanks, guys.
Xavier Miller and Cam Coleman both underwent MRIs. Both are questionable. However, I think Miller with his hip is going to miss this next game and maybe some more, my opinion. And I think Cam Coleman could play this week. He has a shoulder injury, but, you know, depending on the situation, maybe hold him out and have him back. But his injury is not as serious as Tuttle's. And then the other injury is an ongoing one with Keontae Scott, and just his hamstring, I guess, is limiting him in some ways.
But not keeping him from being the punt returner, which I think is a crucial sort of thing to point out. Like I would be more inclined to believe that the hamstring was playing a larger role in Keontae not being out there in coverage if he were also being benched as the punt returner. I know it's not the exact same thing.
No, I guess you're not backpedaling as much and doing quick. I don't know.
Although I would also raise, and again, I've never been in the position to make these decisions. I would ask, if a guy is too injured to be effective as a defensive back, is he still the best option as a punt returner of anybody on the team? If his hamstring is limiting him to the degree that you're going with somebody else instead of him at corner, if it's because of the hamstring. Keontae had a couple of real tough spots in the first half.
I saw a number, I think, Brian, you guys posted there were five. He was targeted five times and gave up five receptions in the first half.
Yeah, he actually had the lowest grade of any defensive player according to PFF.
Right.
Now, again, he was limited, but I think they made a mistake putting him at corner. I think he's a great nickel. That's where he belongs. Maybe
I don't
him
know that
returning.
He'd be here if they hadn't told him
maybe
he was going to
so,
be a corner.
But, you know, that decision was made, and then the coach has got to make the best decision for the team.
Yep. All right, back to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I was going to chime in on a couple of things that some other people called and said. And, you know, I was really disappointed with Saturday. Like Brian has said, a number of other people said, Auburn people deserve better than this. You know, I left the game Saturday. I don't get mad anymore. I'm kind of like Tex. You know, you put it behind you. And you've seen it before. You've seen it too much lately.
Sadly, almost feeling like you're getting used to it. I mean, that's a sad thing.
But let me. It's getting expensive to get used to it.
You're damn right.
You pay to do everything.
Yeah.
And I understand it's an NIL thing. You pay to do everything. Park. Tickets, contribution, this, that, and the other, and we're getting beat by New Mexico State, and we had a freaking year to get ready for Cal. No disrespect for A&M, but we had them outmatched, and everybody kind of knew that, and that's what you get Saturday. And one of your other callers said something that chimed in real well. I like Peyton Thorne. I'm sure he's a nice young man. He's getting paid a pretty good NIL thing to play. Where I work, if you don't produce, you don't. They show you the door.
Yeah, okay. You're not just benched, right?
it's time for something else. Nothing personal. I'm sure he's a nice young man, but he's getting money to do this. So let's try somebody else, because how worse can it get? And that may apply to a few people. I go to a lot of games. I was going to go to Georgia, Kentucky, and Alabama. I can tell you right now, one of those games already fallen off the itinerary, and maybe more. I'm not going to watch that. You're going to have to put something better out there. People are paying a lot of money to go to these games, and as much as I do anyway. Yeah. And it's just disappointing. It's disappointing. I'm not mad at the coaches or anybody else, but make some freaking decisions and get this. How worse can it get? You lost in New Mexico.
Well, I think you've got to find out.
Yeah, really.
I think you have to find out now on the field. And we know who the best one in practice has been. Now you've got to find out. Would there be a difference with somebody else out there on the field? You're not going to find out if you don't put somebody else out there.
Step one is to stop digging.
And one last thing, and I'll let it go. But Tex brought up a great point. But I'm not selling my tickets to. I've eaten tickets before I sold them to opposing fans. But that's just me. I'm just voicing that. But God, I'll be honest with you. I left the stadium fair just very disappointed. Not mad. I've gotten over that stage. But yeah. Auburn people deserve better than what they're getting, because they support that team. They support those coaches.
Yep.
These guys are getting paid NIL money. And, all this stuff about, we don't hurt anybody's feelings, that's out the door. When you start getting paid to do something, either do it or the person behind you needs to get a shot. That's all I got, guys.
Appreciate it, Bill.
That was some great points by Bill. And I would like to add this, and this is for a small subset of people in the Auburn Athletic Department right now. Auburn fans have given a lot to this program, and they've been through you-know-what over the last 3 or 4 years. Now is not the time to be nickel and diming Auburn fans. Now is not the time to be raising prices and making them pay for more stuff that used to be free. Now is the time that you should be giving discounts. You should be thanking these fans and these alumni for what they do for this program. Period.
Yeah, it's I'm media, but I'm also a season ticket. I'm a season ticket holder for both TUF and faculty staff.
And I think a lot of people know what I'm talking about right now.
I get a lot of emails. I get these post-game questionnaires.
Yes.
I respond.
Yeah.
I know some of the folks that read them, so it's not at you, but
there's much you can squeeze. What's the thing about squeezing out of a
blood from a stone?
Yes. Y'all need to chill.
All right, we need to get to our final break. We'll get as many calls in as we can when we come back here on the Monday Drive. Yeah, I get post-game.
The results are in, and Game Day Men's Health in Auburn has delivered. The certified medical